Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today.
Let's pray. Father, right now we thank you for just your presence in this place. God, we thank you for what you are doing in our lives and what you will continue to be doing. God, right now we just want to pray your presence over the lives of everyone under the sound of my voice. Father, we pray for an encounter. God, we pray for your love to cover them. We pray for them to feel your presence right now in this moment. God, we pray for every heart that is broken. God, we pray for every mind right now that is strained. Lord, we pray for everyone who just needs to experience you in this moment. Father, right now, as Pastor Brian comes to deliver the message, God, we pray that you will be speaking through him, that you will challenge us to live out the mission of this church, Father, so that we can affect the community and the world around us. Lord God, we love you. In your son's name and all God's people said, amen.
We are in the second part, the second half of the state of the church. And we're titling this Grit and Grace. And so we're gonna talk a little bit about the church, and I hope it will bless you as well. Before we do, we're gonna do a social experiment, a mission vision thing. Take your phone out, if you would. We usually do the Connect card earlier. We're doing it now. And there's Dunkin' Donuts involved, so play along. You should play along on this. This experiment, you know, we talk about with the state of the church, we talk about mission, vision, those kinds of things. What we thought might be interesting is if we could see how many of our folks know what our four core values are. They start with the same letter. I'll give you that hint. Now, here's how you're gonna do this. And if you do it, we're gonna pick at least 10 people to receive a Dunkin' Donut gift card. If you will respond. So what you're gonna do is you're gonna go into your phone. I'm going into my 5E, which will be in a museum very shortly, or 5C, or I don't remember what it is. And you're going to text 247-4747. You are going to text C1, and then you will get a response, and then now you have the Connect card, so now you can scroll down, and you'll see core values. There's a place there, core values, and if you can't find it, just write it anywhere in a prayer request or whatever. Our four core values. Pastor Matt Spear is with us. Would you please come out, Matthew, our youth pastor? I would have thought we would have got more noise from that section up there when
it's
we introduced.
Good.
Let's try this again.
We're
Let's
tired.
Introduce our student pastor, Matthew Spear.
Hey, guys. I like when you coax them into applause.
Well, yeah,
it's good.
Well, when you're in the business long enough, my friend, you learn how to
you
do
get it. Yeah, you learn the tricks of the trade.
So you've got a crowd up there. Tell me about the weekend.
We took a fall retreat this weekend. It's the first kind of big thing we could do in the last 7 months with COVID being the way it is. We found a camp with regulations that would allow us to come in and remain safe. And so we took 41 students. We actually had to max out Illinois state law because Illinois is like, you can only have 50 people.
Wow.
And so we actually had to cap registration because we still need to take adults. And so we have 41 students up in the balcony who just came back from a sleep-deprived weekend, but a growth weekend as well, learning about Jesus.
That's cool. Well, thank you for your work. We love you guys, and we're glad that you're here, and we're grateful for the work that you're doing, Matthew.
Well, hey, thank you, guys.
Hey, you know, before you go, so there's a large percentage, more and more, we're seeing a higher percentage of our kids who are coming to our events who really don't have a lot of church background.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of new. And one of the things I thought about as you and I were talking earlier is that if you've got a student, you know, you're in middle school or high school, that can be a tough time to fit in. This is a perfect youth group because a lot of these kids don't know each other anyway.
Yeah.
And if you're worried about not having enough church background, there's a whole bunch of folks that don't have that. So talk about that for a second.
Yeah, so the beautiful thing is that whenever we have an event or we have a retreat or something like that, there's probably 25 to 30% of the students who come who are only affiliated to C1 because a friend invited them.
Yeah.
And so there's plenty of students who don't know a ton of other people and are just now getting to meet the other people in the group. And so whenever a student's like, well, maybe I won't know people, hey, join the club. We're always meeting new people. We're always having new people join and hang out. So if you don't feel like maybe you won't know a lot of people, join the group and we'll get you connected pretty quickly. Cool. And we also talk about themes that are pretty universal, just to life. This week we talked about hope, because if the last seven months have taught us anything, hope is one of the many things that we feel like we are missing right now. And we talked about finding hope in the eternal versus the temporary.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you. Let's say thank you to Pastor.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Now, if you're watching us online, if you're a first-time guest and you're in the room, we have a gift for you on your way out that will include that Dunkin' card. If you are watching us online and it's your first time, Pastor Phil and Pastor Galen are away, so we're opening up the prize closet. We're just going to give everything away. If you're watching us for the first time online and you'll let us know that, we will send you the Dunkin' gift card as well. What do you believe about church? At Chicago First, we believe that church should be about what Jesus was about. We belong to him. And does church make a difference in people's lives? And if so, how much? And if we're about what Jesus was about, Jesus at the home of Zacchaeus, who was much maligned and people didn't respect him, but Jesus came to him. Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's what Jesus was about. Jesus was about people. He was about seeing people who had lost their way find their way. He was about reaching out to others. That's what the church should be about, and that's what we're about. There's another moment in Scripture that's one of my favorite as it relates to the church, Acts 12:5. So Peter is a follower, right, of Jesus, and in a moment there's a healing that takes place, and he gets thrown into prison, and he's in prison, and you have this story of the miraculous release that he gets from prison. But while he was in prison, potentially even facing what might be death the next day, it says Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And it's that phrase, but the church, that is a good place for us to jump off as we begin to think about what God's called us to do, who he's called us to be, and we celebrate the state of the church, which is grit and grace. But the church. But the church is a big moment. But the church makes a difference. If you're here today because the church at some point in time intersected your life. There are those of us who, like Peter, are insiders, and we've had the benefit. We would have been alone, but the church stood by us. We got knocked down, but the church came around us. Our friends and those who were part of the community banded together. We would have grieved alone, but the church was there for us. We might have even quit somewhere along the line, but there was somebody from the church who stepped in. That phrase, but the church, is a powerful one. And as powerful as it is for those of us who are insiders, who know that we need never be alone because the church is there for us and will support us and will help us, it's even more important when you think about outsiders. In everybody's story, there is a but the church sentence. Church meaning the body of Christ. The first time I met Matt was, not Matthew the youth pastor, but another Matt, was about 12, 13 years ago. He walked into my office on a Friday afternoon with a black trash bag containing everything that he owned. He was there because a friend of mine, another guy in the church, had met him that day at a Harley Davidson store, and they got to know each other, and he brought him to me. And the reason that my buddy was at the store was because he rode a Harley. He'd go in there and look around once in a while. The reason Matt was there was because the county jail was just across the street, and he had unexpectedly been released. He had no family. He had nobody to call. He had no place to go. it was cold, and so he went to the Harley-Davidson store to try to kill some time and try to figure out what to do with everything in his bag. He would have been in his early 20s. My friend brought him to my office, and we sat and talked, and we tried to encourage him. We got him a ride to a place where he was supposed to actually meet some friends a little bit later, about 30 minutes away, and we made sure he had something to eat, and we loved on him a little bit and encouraged and prayed with him, and he went his way. About 3 days later, I looked at the local paper, and back in those days, I looked at the local paper, and they listed who was in jail, and I saw Matt was back in jail, in the county jail. So as to be frank with you, as much out of curiosity as anything, I just went to see him. I said, Matt, he looked at me through that glass and he said, Pastor Brian, I go, what happened? You were out. He goes, yeah, here's the thing. My friends who were supposed to show up didn't show up. And they had taken stuff that I'd given them that was mine. And I was so discouraged that I just decided later that day that I was going to commit suicide. He said, I walked out on the bridge and I knew what bridge he was talking about. And if he'd have jumped, he would have died. And he said, I got out there and I thought, I really don't want to die, but I can't do this anymore. And in the midst of that, I thought, well, I know jail's better than here. So here's what he did. In this little town of Ottawa, grocery store right there, a little grocery store, he walked in the grocery store and he went to the greeters and said, hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. Good to see you. So they would be sure and notice him. He went to the liquor aisle and he got the most expensive bottle of whiskey he could get. Then he put it under his arm and he came back through and went to the cashier and says, I'll see you later. I'm leaving. I'm going. And just calmly walked outside and sat down on the curb, set the bottle beside him, and waited on the police to get there. The police arrived and ran past him. And he said, hey, I think you're looking for me. And they took him to jail. I said, Matt, he goes, I didn't know what else to do. I was cold. I was tired of being cold and I didn't want to die. Matt thought he would get a couple nights of warmth, but what happened was it was his third or fourth strike, and he got sent to the penitentiary in Galesburg for about 2.5 years. During that time, we stayed in touch. He wrote me, and I wrote him, and we got into about 3 months of his release, and he was doing really good. He was trying hard, but he said, Pastor Brian, I got a problem. I'm going to get released, and when I get released, I'm going to get rearrested right outside of the gate because it will be a violation of my parole because I don't have anywhere to go. No family, nothing. I said, well, let me work on it. And so there's an organization in Rockford, Illinois called Rockford Rescue Missions, incredible Christian organization. And they will help people come, men and women, come from being homeless into it's a year, 2 year program, and you start out on one level, and then as you go through their program, and they'll help people transition. I called them and they said, we can't reserve a bed because we don't do that, but if we think there's room, and if you'll get him here, we'll take him. And so they contacted the penitentiary, and they made those arrangements, and I picked him up at the gate, and we walked out and we stopped and got something to eat, and then we went to Walmart and got him some clothes, and I was able to do that because you, the church, not this congregation, but a congregation that's like you, sent me to do that and equipped me to do that. And we took the 5-hour ride or whatever it was all the way up to Rockford. And once we got in the car on the way, I handed him my cell phone and said, hey man, call whoever you want to. He said, I don't have anybody to call. A little bit later, he said, you know, my mom used to work at this bar in Iowa, and maybe she still works there. He hadn't talked to her in forever. He called and didn't get a hold of her, but the bartender knew his uncle, and he had a short conversation. How do you have nobody to call? We got to Rockford Rescue Mission, and the main floor, there's a whole bunch of bunks, 40 or 50 bunks, and for men, and there's another building for women, and these are folks coming in off the street, and I thought, man, this has been such a great story, and I began to look around, and I began to feel like, I don't know if this is safe. I don't know if this is, so while Matt was registering, when he got done, I said, hey, man, come here. I said, dude, this is a lot of really shady people, and he said, Pastor Brian, do you remember where I slept last night? I went, oh, yeah. He goes, yeah, we're all shady. I said, so you're okay? He goes, yeah, I'm fine. It'll be fine. He completed that program. They helped get him medical help that he needed and dental help that he needed. And he graduated from high school, actually went on to go through their program and finish it, was baptized in a local church. and then graduated college, got married, and the last time I saw him, he was blessing Jesus and enjoying life. And that happened because the church met him at Harley-Davidson. That happened because the church guided him into that next step. That happened because the church didn't give up on him when he got put back in that county jail. That happened because the body of Christ formed a Rockford Rescue Mission and they come together and all of us working together. There is a but the church in everybody's story, and it is our role to write it in there. That takes grit and that takes grace. And that's what we're about. We talked last week about how we were committed at C1 to be strong at home. We went through the ministries. If you didn't see that, please take some time to look at it and see what we're doing here locally in this building. We talked a lot about missions last week and what we're doing, both in planting churches in different places and helping to finance that, and then around the world. We invested between what was gathered from tithes and offerings and what was given towards mission in the name of C1, $475,000 around the world for clinics and hospitals. It's incredible. And what's even more incredible is that we're not far off of that this year towards reaching that. In a year with COVID, in a year when so many things have gone wrong, and in a year when all of that, we're committed to missions. But here's what we've learned when we think about missions. We think about going to other places and sharing the gospel. We have learned something really, really important, and that is that we need to multiply here in the United States. In 1986, this was one of the first books I had to read when I began the course of study towards ordination. Jerry Appleby wrote, "Missions Have Come Home to America." And in 1986, he saw two things that were happening. Number one, he saw that immigration, there was a lot of folks coming to the United States for the purpose of pursuing their dream, and that we were going to be more and more international, and we were going to have to, the missions that where we used to send missionaries, now we're going to need missionaries to be sent here. We actually have a few years ago, we interviewed a young man who was in our service just passing through Chicago who was from India. His parents had come to faith because of our missionaries in India, and then he was raised and accepted Christ, and now he was a missionary down to Dallas to an Indian people group that was a large segment of the city. And Jerry Appleby saw that coming and said, we need to think differently. And the second thing that he saw was that the distance between the culture that we're in and the church was growing. And people were looking less to the church. And the kind of things that we thought about doing missions somewhere a long way away was now coming here. You heard Pastor Matt say that somewhere 25 to 30% of our students often come to us, they just don't have church background because it just wasn't there. Consider this. This is from Tim Harlow in his book, Life on Mission. America now makes up one of the largest mission fields in the world. Think about that. 195 million people don't go to church. If those people were a nation, it would be the fifth largest country in the world. The percentage of Americans who don't claim any kind of religious worldview has gone from only 15% in the 1950s to 60% in 2010. What does all that mean? It means that we need to multiply. As believers, we need to multiply the faith that God's given us. We need to be able to share our faith with our family and our friends and our coworkers in such a way that will enable them to hear the story of Jesus and come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we create the environments that we create. We always create environments on the weekend. The testimony from our first service and that baptism of Rachel's was that her first time here was Christmas Eve 2018. And when we plan that Christmas Eve services, we plan them thinking someone's gonna be here who may never have been here before. And we wanna be open. We want it to be a good environment for them. We create these things to equip our folks to invite. We gotta multiply our faith and share it with others and do so in a meaningful way, in a relational way. We've gotta multiply friendships and community. We're committed to intentionally creating environments and life groups that will deepen existing friendships and form new ones. I was thinking about, in her testimony, she referenced her life group. What if that group had said, you know what, we're not really going to be open to outsiders. We're just going to kind of keep our thing. We have to multiply those opportunities because we want everybody to experience the friendship and the family and the community that we have in Christ, and we have to multiply it. If you're in a life group, I would challenge you the next time you get together to say, hey, next semester, why don't you guys go that way and we'll go this way, and we can still get together and eat. We can still get together and do our thing. But we want to multiply the opportunity. Or we can just say it's about us. Oh, we've got to multiply. We've got to multiply our online presence. My goodness, the last 6 months, we're committed to maximizing our presence online as part of an effort to be the body of Christ and share the greatest story ever told. You won't be able to see this. You can Google 2020 every minute of the day and you can see this diagram. But around here, every minute of the day, every minute of the day, 208,333 people are attending a Zoom meeting. Every minute of the day. Amazon ships 6,659 packages. LinkedIn users apply for 69,444 jobs. On and on, we're learning. Now here's what, for those of us who are old timers, the way that churches used to be planted was that they would have a tent revival. This is how Chicago First was planted. They would have a tent revival and folks would come, and then that was back in the 30s and 40s and even into the 50s, and then they would come. And then when we stopped doing tent revivals, then we would do like bus ministry, and we'd go out and we'd pick up tons of kids. The internet is the tent revival of 2020. It is where we meet and engage people, and we're committed to increasing our online presence. Having said that, if you're on social media, I want you to think about this. You can be part of this multiplication of our online presence every time you like, comment, or share something that we've posted. Every time you do that, the algorithms are such that the more of those there is, the more the message gets out. It's an incredible opportunity. Be intentional about your posts. Think about as you go on, whether it's our Facebook page or whatever, just think about the power that we have here. Here's something else that we're learning. We're learning that a lot of folks are doing home like watch parties around messages or ideas or series. And think about it this way. We got a lot of folks who, because your young people are involved in athletics, there'll be times when sometimes a summer, we just don't see it. Or you travel to a favorite spot. We have folks who snowbird. What if we begin to be intentional? What if we gathered a few other of those parents around and said, hey, Tuesday night or Wednesday night or Thursday, whenever it is, we're going to get together at our house and we're going to think about it. We take pieces of the message. All of that is going to be required. We're looking at putting together a 10-minute service. So it would take a service like this one and then just have a 10-minute video that we create that you could say to a friend who may be hurting or whatever, hey, just check this out. For 10 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever, we are committed to multiplying our online presence. If you'd be willing to host, if you have an interest in that kind of a thing, let us know. We're committed to multiply. We're committed to multiplying our physical locations. We want to leverage the resources of a large church with the personality and proximity of a small church in order to develop the church where it's needed most, right down the block. All throughout Chicago, there are churches in some of the neighborhoods and communities, but they're taking a hit. And again, this quote from Tim Harlow in his book, Life on Mission. I had a friend tweet recently that he was on a plane to Dallas with 50 kids from South Korea. There's Dallas again, on a mission trip to Dallas. Isn't that the buckle of the Bible Belt? Take just the number of churches in Chicago, which has decreased by 900 in the last 10 years. Apparently, they make nice condominiums, and that's what they're doing. C1 in the Church of the Nazarene is the mother church of the Midwest. We were first, and we are committed to having more babies. We're 116 years old. That pulpit that over there under that light is a pulpit from which Phineas F. Brazee preached from, one of the founders of our movement. But we are committed. We don't want to give up a single street corner. And so we're committed to multiply physical locations. We want to plant churches and help existing churches, places that we can add value and serve, treatment centers, assisted living centers, living rooms, break rooms. I've been invited into two businesses just to encourage the owner of the company. So just come in and give my team some encouragement. All of those things are now coming to play. We must think differently and be committed to multiply. That commitment to multiplication caused us to turn a hard corner in 2018. By 2018, it felt like we were making progress, but not near fast enough. and it felt as if that something was wrong. And for a season, I thought maybe it was time for me to move on and to bring in a different leader. I didn't feel released from that, but I knew that there was no way I could get to everything that needed to be done and continue to do things the same way. In our flow chart from a standpoint was senior pastor and then began to go down through the others, and it just didn't work. So we decentralized leadership in 2019 at your board's direction. And while I'm technically still the senior pastor, we created an executive team. So Pastor Phil, our chief operating officer, I'm just a voice at the table now. And Phil doesn't come to me for approval, which was laughable anyway. He'd come to me with a balance sheet or something and say, well, what do you think? I'd go, well, what do you think? You know, is that kind of a thing? Takes care of rec and preschool. And we brought in Pastor Galen for a couple reasons. One, I needed help preaching. And I needed someone who was going to be able to come in, because if we're going to do this other stuff that I'm about to show you, there is no way. I spend 20 hours preparing for a message. And I love preaching. I enjoy doing it. It's been a sweet spot for me. I've loved it. But I recognized in 18 that we weren't just going to be able to preach our way to a breakthrough. We had to do something different. In addition to that, I wanted to bring in a younger voice on the leadership team. I'm 59. Now I'm a cool 59. But I'm 59. And the rec families that we have are all so much younger. And you know, how cool would it be if we could get a balance in there? And Galen has come in and done extremely well. And we're blessed. I'm still going to be preaching. You're still going to hear me. But you're going to see Galen more. And it's all because we want to multiply leaders. No, we have to. You want to change the city. You want to do something about what's happened this last summer. You want to do something about what's happening in our culture. We have to multiply leaders, locations, and help existing churches. Now, that freedom, Galen's been with us just over a year, and so that freedom, and then a COVID hit, and everything's crazy, right? But that freedom has allowed us to begin to think differently, and I'm going to share some of the stuff that's going on. First of all, we've had an idea for some time. Nick Stricker and I have been talking for some time. C1 has incredible business leaders as part of our family, folks who have done extraordinary things. And for years, I've thought, how cool would it be if we could open up, bring some of those leaders together, and then invite some younger leaders in, and we could talk about systems of leadership and how you can get better at leadership, and how do you handle family and home and all that. But we could never get to it till now. This is a Lead Well is a gathering for those who lead to encourage, equip, and create healthy, helpful networks, because when leaders get better, everybody wins. Our first meeting is October 31st. It's a Saturday morning at 9 a.m., and you'll be hearing more about that. We're meeting around a question, and if you lead anything, you're going to want to watch for that and get signed up. We'll be limited with the number of people we can take, but that's an example of how we're going to create and multiply leaders. And then we've had a ministry for some time. We've been involved with Mr. Aurelio's work at Feed, Clothe, and Help the Needy. I know it's a tough picture, but there aren't any picture of this location in Englewood is tough. Mother Betty, who just recently passed away, has been serving people there. Mr. Aurelio has been serving, helping to provide food for people there for some time. This is Ivan and Margie Lopez. Pastor Ivan is in our course of study towards ordination, and they go down there on Saturday mornings, and there's a church service at 10 o'clock. He was down there yesterday. People are fed, and he begins to minister. And then on Wednesday nights, Ivan and Margie go back. This is Englewood. They go back, and they'll hold a Bible study on Wednesday night in that neighborhood. And the local police captain said, we really need to put a police car out in front just to provide some additional security. That's a level of commitment. That is multiplication. And then for about 15 years, we've had involvement, 14 years, we've had involvement in the Austin neighborhood with Church on the Block. And earlier this year, Pastor Rob came to us and realized it was time for that, for them. They were in a place where they could actually break off and become a church plant. They could do what God had called them to do. They adopted a new name, Worship Center of Chicago. Pastor Rob and Cassie, and then their leadership team, their core team, come together. And they are titrating down. Pastor Rob has been great with stewardship. We never thought that could be a self-supporting ministry, and he is literally taking it that way. He's halfway from being totally self-supporting. We're going to titrate them down over a couple of years and allow them to plant. They will have an influence in Austin. They will also be in the Ashburn community, so they don't know for sure where they're going to be located, but using Worship Cafe, it's just an idea that Rob has. They are going to be on their own, and we have been part. We have planted a church in Chicago. To God be the glory. But then in Austin, we've also got this other thing that's been on our mind. By the Hand After School program, if you've been around here, you know the story of Miss Danita Travis and the work that she's done over the last 20 years, starting with just a dozen or so kids, providing an after school program from kindergarten through college, where the kids will make sure they get food and then they get help with their homework. It's a dangerous time in the city between about 3 and 7 o'clock at night. Over 1,600 kids, soon to be 2,000. And we have, many of you have been there. We have volunteers who were there this week to try and make a difference. This is how you can change the world. Think, now these are some of her data from her last report. 86% of the kids who were in there, of those 1,600, passed all their classes. 64% made all A, Bs, and Cs. The average GPA was 2.81 on 4. That's incredible. There was a few years ago, the stat in the Austin community was that 70% of the kids weren't graduating high school. So you want to make a difference? You want to change the culture and what's happening in a given place? Get involved this way. 100% of these kids got hot, nutritious meals, dental checkups, and eye exams. Now, here's the point that Ms. Travis and I have been talking about for years. They are extremely effective at leading these young people to faith. 82% of them accepted Christ, but less than 19% of them had attended a church service. By the Hand isn't a church. Yeah, it is the church, but it's not a church service where you would, families would come in. It isn't that. And over the years, they've tried to partner with churches, but it's tough because of all kinds of different reasons. So we're praying right now and believing that something unique is going to happen. We'll skip those. This is an artist diagram of what the block looks like. Now, this would be the location of our current church, or not anymore, they were on their own, but it's where our church on the block was, right here. Over here is the after school program that some of you have been a part of. It was the first building she built. She started that after school program in our building, moved over here, then built an elementary school, and then built a middle school, and came to us and said, hey, I need office space. I will allow you to, you can use my building for a church. Would you sell me the property so that I can do something new? Our building there is over 100 years old. It's got water problems in the basement that we're gonna take at least $200,000, $300,000 to fix. It just wasn't tenable. So that building will soon be torn down, and this is what we'll replace it. This is their office complex. And guess what we want to do in that cafeteria? We want to bring in somebody who will become part of By the Hand. We're not trying to partner with a church anymore. We're going to plant one right in the middle, provided to them, handed them. We're just praying about it. We got a long way to go, but that's the kind of multiplication we're talking about. And folks, that's how we can change culture. That's how we can right what is wrong, because ultimately it's Jesus that changes the world. We're committed to multiply locations. We want to plant new campuses in the suburbs. Think branches, think outposts. What neighborhood is on your mind? What people group are you thinking about? It doesn't have to be huge. It can be small. We've learned that treatment centers are great places. There's all kinds of different things that we can do, but we have to multiply. We have to help existing churches. We've been involved in a church plant in Morris, Illinois, and we've also been involved, Paul Tim, part of our team, has preached at Lombard, and many of you went over to help that church make a transition. I preached at a church in Oak Lawn just recently who's getting ready to go through a transition. All kinds of differences, but we are committed to multiply, because ultimately there has to be a but the church moment in people's lives, but the church. Now, this is hard work. It is messy work. It is one step forward, 10 steps back work. I wrote in my journal not too long ago, missional work is messy work. It always costs more and takes longer than we think it's going to. It would be so much easier to design a church for church people. When you focus on reaching outsiders, the burdens are heavier, the decisions more difficult and often misunderstood, and the going always seems like you're running in mud. But then I wrote, but I remember the mud. I remember the mud I was stuck in when God found me. He lifted me out and set my feet on a solid rock, and he used the church to do it. So let's get in the mud and commit to not coming out till we bring one more son or daughter with us. It's about grit and grace. It's about resolving ourselves that we are going to be strong at home. We're going to commit to missions, and we are going to commit to multiply individually with our faith, in our groups and friendships, and even in our location. The mud and grace. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have celebrated all that you have accomplished and done and are doing, we recognize that it's much bigger than we are. We don't even know for sure how it all looks at the end of the day, but we have heard your call. And if you'll provide the grace, we'll provide the grit. If you will help us, we will finish what you have called us to do. I ask for a blessing and anointing on every person who's hearing this online and every person in this room. Thank you for your church that came and found us and helped us. And now, in a moment of grit and grace, may we move forward in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.